to each of you this morning in the name of Jesus. It's good to see everyone gathered in for worship. Enjoyed the service and the Sunday school discussion, and I had to think back over my mother's passing, how she had her funeral arrangements made and unknown to us when we and we knew where they were, by the way. She told us where they are. And unknown to us, she had a date on, and she had just updated them not long before her passing. And it was a blessing to us as a family. Death is coming for all of us at some time. We're born, we're here, living today, but at some day we will die. I thought of Hezekiah, I believe it was him, where God told him to set thy house in order, for thou must die and cannot live. And that's coming for all of us. I felt led this morning to bring the sermon that I brought last Sunday at chapel. I know there was a few of you at chapel last Sunday, and I ask your forbearance in this morning. But I felt led to bring the same message this morning. The title is, What Time I Am Afraid. Brother Galen had talked about some of these thoughts maybe already, but turn with me to Psalm 56. What time I am afraid. There are many situations in life that cause us to fear and to tremble. And no doubt you can think back over your week and you can think of some of those. Last evening, as I was holding the hand of my youngest child, we were walking into, I don't remember exactly where it was anymore, but all of a sudden she didn't want to walk anymore. And she's gripping my hand and she's scared about something. She's fearful. And I looked down, and here was a little grate about 4 inches wide. You know how the cow grates look to keep the cows in? Well, it was a little grate about that wide, and her little mind said, whoa, this is scary. I need to grab onto Daddy's hand, and I coaxed her across. We went across together, actually. As I thought about that, how big is God today? How big is your God? How big is God? And how big are the grates that we have to cross? And as we compare them to the awesomeness and the sovereignty and of our God, well, let us trust Him. What time I am afraid. Let's read Psalm 56. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O Thou Most High. Our text verse, what time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. In God I will praise His word, in God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they rest my words, all their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together, they hide themselves, they mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God why praise His word? In the Lord why praise His word? In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto Thee, for Thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not Thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? I appreciate this psalm and that last statement, that I may walk before God in the light of the living. I'd like to look at the message this morning, at what time I am afraid. Fear. We know fear or pain. We could use pain. Pain is a great teacher. Our children learn, and we learn through pain. Our children learn at an early age to touch a hot stove brings pain. And they learn that they do not want to touch a hot stove. We learn to run across the blacktop barefooted in a hot summer day. We might burn our feet, and we learn to stay on the grass when we walk. And pain is a teacher, and it's also associated with fear. We do not want to be burned again. And sometimes those things happen to us in life in various ways. And there's a dramatic thing that happens in our life, and it puts an imprint on our memory. It puts an impression there, and we have a fear. Whatever it is, in your experience today, what you think about? Maybe we could use illustrations of different ones, but there is fear sometimes that is good. We respect hot stoves. We respect different things, and it's good because we know the pain that's associated with it. Fear is good in its proper place, but sometimes the fear gets out of control, and we run the risk of being paralyzed by fear. I think there's an animal that does that to its, I don't remember which one it is now, but I think this comes to my mind now. I think there's an animal that paralyzes its prey. The prey becomes so fearful, and it's all over for the prey. Sometimes we struggle with that in life. We struggle sometimes with false fear. False fear. It's not necessarily our subject today, but what time I am afraid I will trust in thee. The burden of my message this morning is that at what time you are afraid. I venture to say that Brother Junior this morning received a blessing. And we all received the blessing, for that matter. But maybe we trusted God just a little deeper this morning. Maybe we trusted him just a little more. Maybe we got more out of the Sunday school class this morning. Maybe God wanted to teach us something. What time I'm afraid, what do you do? It is not wrong to seek help for medical conditions. We do not believe this morning that if our child is sick, that, well, we say God chose to make the child sick and God can choose to heal the child. Yes, we believe God can choose to heal the child. But we also believe it's right and proper to take the child to the doctor, to seek help. We also believe that. We do not believe that goes against what the Bible teaches. But there comes a time in life where Galen spoke about where we are at the end of the rope, as it were. And I hope that we are trusting God through the options of life that we're sorting out, seeking his direction through prayer. Spoke with a sister last week, and that her sister has been diagnosed with cancer. And she looked at my wife and I and she said, she can't die. She has a husband and children. She can't die. At what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Sometimes the valley situations are of such a nature that we find ourselves being pulled into the realm of the unknown. And you know what I'm talking about. But I just want to encourage us, brethren and sisters, to trust God in those. Do you know what they are? You've been there. But trust God again. In Mark 5, we have the story of the woman that had the issue of blood. The Bible says that she, after she was healed, she touched Jesus' hem of his garment and was healed. And the Bible says that Jesus looked around and said, "Who touched me?" And the woman came trembling and fearful and fell at his feet and told him everything. It was her that had touched him. But she needed to overcome her fear and reach out to Jesus. Overcoming the fear. I like to look now. What time, I am afraid, what time? In time of persecution, we do not like it. When we are mocked or rebuffed for our belief, something happens to us because of what we believe, and in time of persecution. I remember years ago leading singing at Boston, up in the, what area in Boston was it? But I was leading singing, and the group, of course, was facing me, the group of singers, and behind me is the street and people walking, and it's uncomfortable, you know, those of you who've led singing in cities and so forth. There are times where you're not sure if you should look around or if you should just keep leading, and what's going to happen to you? In times of persecution, in times of financial difficulty, I will trust in thee. In times of sickness, in times of grief, in time of storm, in time of new responsibilities, in times of loneliness, in times of change, and on the list could go. These all pose times of fear. What is trust? Trust is assured reliance on the character, ability, and strength and truth of someone or something. Do you know of anything in this life that can assure you of that? Assured reliance on the character, ability, strength, and truth. Assured reliance. Is there anything today that offers you assured reliance? In this world, there's nothing. It's all going to burn. Yes, we have those things that we place confidence in, and that's right and proper, but they cannot exceed our confidence in God. When all those things are taken away, and I think it's important that we teach our children that, you know, even if the house blows away, and even if God chooses that we all die, we still trust Him. Sometimes there's this thought out or this teaching out that if we trust God, the bad things won't happen to us. I do not think we should teach our children that way. Because what happens when the bad things do happen? I think we should teach them the realities. We trust God no matter what, and we do not fly to pieces, but we stay together with His help. And I'm so thankful for a church brotherhood to help us in these times. We have the ability to choose the object of what we will place our trust in. We have the ability to choose that object. Some choose the money. Some choose government. Some choose family. Some choose the military. I remember a man that I worked with who is gone now. He passed away. But he was very much assured that the U.S. military, we don't have to worry. The U.S. military is strong. Well, we know that God is more powerful than even that. Thinking of our subject we had the other Sunday night when Elvin was here. Isaiah 31:1 talks about going down to Egypt for help and finding confidence in the horses and in the chariots because they are many. But I say God operates with miracles. God operates aside from numbers. He operates aside from sheer force that we can see. But he operates in the hearts of individuals who trust him and seek him. And he can do marvelous things. I will trust in thee. Number one, trusting God begins by a love for God. A love for God. If you would turn with me to 1 John 4. I'd like to read just a few verses here. First John 4, verses 16 to 19. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. For there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Now, is it right to say, and maybe we could talk about this, maybe you want to share with me after the service, but is it right to say that the Christian does not have fear? If the Christian is totally perfect in the love of God, there will be no fear. I'm not sure. Perfect love casts out fear. I believe this way, that fear is here, but the love of God is here, and the love of God tempers the fear, and the fear does not control the love of God. When the love of God or the trust in God starts to waver, the fear starts to take over and dictate our actions. Let's not live life dictated by fear. Plan our future based upon fear, but let's plan our future based upon a trust in God. Relationship, communication through prayer, obedience to God. Praising his name for what he has done and for who he is. Daniel in the lion's den. You know, when the king came out the next day and asked Daniel how he's doing, Daniel said, "The God whom we serve, the God whom I serve, he sent his angel to shut the lion's mouths." That is the God that we serve. Number two, trust in God involves a conscious effort of our will. Trust in God involves a conscious effort of our will. I want you to turn with me to Mark chapter 14. Some time ago, in contemplating the verses that say, Jesus teaching of pray and it shall happen. If you have faith, the mountains can be moved into the sea and so forth, and you almost get the idea that you can do whatever you want if you have enough of faith. You can make anything happen. And I was toiling and wrestling with that. And I came across and I read the experience of Jesus. And in Mark chapter 14, verse 32 to 36, I want to read what it says about Jesus. And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he saith to his disciples, Sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. Jesus was facing, he was greatly troubled, and he was deeply distressed. and saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, he's using very endearing terms here, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me, nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And it goes on to say, he went away again and prayed the same words. Here is Jesus facing a situation that he would rather it pass from him. But he says, Dear Father, take away this cup from me, but nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And loved ones, when we can come to the place in our fear and in our situation where we can say that from the heart, there is tremendous release. And there is tremendous freedom. God promises an answer. God promises an answer. And when it becomes obvious that the answer may be no, let's help each other to rest and to be encouraged. We don't like to think about that. We like to have things the way we want them to be. We like to have a blank check. We want to write all of the numbers. But that is not the way it is. Number 3. Trust in God is security beyond measure. You see, fear and being dictated by fear shows an insecurity in our heart. Trusting in God, truly, and as Galen said, it's a trust of the Christian. It's a trust of one who has found the deliverance from sin, the freedom. And this can be claimed by the Christian. A security beyond measure. Philippians 4:19. I'm just going to read that. You do not need to turn there if you care not to. Talks about the fullness of the riches. Philippians 4:19. You have this by memory, no doubt. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And our need that God sees may be different than our want. But he will supply our need according to the riches of Christ Jesus. Fear threatens to unseat our security. At what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. It's my encouragement to those who are facing the battles of life today. Awesome riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Number 4, trusting God brings light to life. That was the last phrase we read in Psalm 56. Trusting God brings light to life. God does his part. Man must do his. What does the Lord, being our light, mean for the child of God? Light to life. Today, do I have light in my life? Am I excited about life? Do I have a focus that is vibrant? And am I living in light, or am I living in darkness? Light of life. What does the Lord being our light mean for the child of God? It means life worth living. Life worth living. It means a fulfilling life, which is based on relationship with God and not on the comfort of living. Fulfilling life. You're struggling this morning with life being fulfilling. Look at your trust, the base of your trust, the base of your security. It means strength to conquer. In verse 13 of Psalm 56, that might be Psalm 27, sorry. Psalm 27, verse 13, talks about, David says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord. But it is strength to conquer, strength to go on. You know, brethren and sisters, today, if you're discouraged about life, and you know, there are pressure points in life. There's pressure points. We face pressure. And when those pressure points start to get higher, there's a pressure here and there's one here, and then the third one comes in. It starts to shake our being. And when you find yourself quaking and shaking under the load, by all means, pray to God, but also share with someone, a trusted friend. Share your burden. We are here as a group of brethren and sisters to bear each other up, to pull together, to lift up the hands that hang down, and to strengthen the feeble knees. Not because we are so strong, but because there is strength in community and in unity together. Light of life. And it helps and it strengthens us and encourages us to conquer. That word of encouragement, you know, words are so extremely powerful. Extremely powerful. Speak the word of encouragement, whether through card or letter, and I'd speak to myself. Speak the word of encouragement. I'd like to conclude by reading Isaiah 12, verses 2 and 3. And I think as we go through these kind of experiences with a congregation, let's be careful not to minimize what our brother and sister is facing. Let's be careful not to say, well, you know what, you should just get over it. Or it's really not that bad. Now, I'm using very strong language. But let's be careful with how we feel and what we say about situations. Walk in their shoes. Walk in their shoes. Isaiah 12, verses 2 and 3. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. I believe the beauty of God's people is the ability in time of calamity to still have the joy of a song, to still have the joy of God ringing from their heart because they have found Christ, their strength and their song. May we together, as we face life's difficulties, the pressures of life, the sicknesses, the financial reverses, the whatever it may be, we don't know what's going to happen the rest of the day. We do not know. And we can say things so glibly or so easily, and then God calls us to go through the fire. And then it's our turn to bear the burden. Let us have a relationship with God today. Shall we pray?